Ramsey TV.
Look at that crazy title, Harold. Atheists believe in God? Where's he getting that nonsense? It's just gone too far this time. Everybody knows atheists don't believe in God. It's the opposite. Well, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say that atheists believe God. I said they believe in God. And I am going to prove that from the scriptures. Hello, everybody. Welcome to MZTV. I appreciate all your comments yesterday on the Jaws parody. Robert Shaw talking about, and I looked this up. He's talking about, in the movie, the survivors of the USS Indianapolis that was sunk by a Japanese submarine in World War II. And the men who survived that attack, they were in the ocean for 3 days, and the sharks came. It was just a horrible event. I'm also describing a horrible event, actually, in my parody, which is Eternal Torment and Those Who Teach It. A young man commented on the video. He wasn't familiar with the clip. I tried to pick a really universal clip, but I understand not everybody knows Jaws. So underneath the video today, I put a link of the actual clip from the movie. The reason my acting isn't nearly as good as Robert Shaw's is I was sober throughout the recording, whereas rumor has it, legend has it, Robert Shaw, who played Quint in the movie Jaws 1975, was under the influence of alcohol during much of the filming. And I believe that probably enhances one's acting, especially when they're portraying a crazy, eccentric character like Quint. Now, yeah, I appreciate your comments. It's not perfect. When I rewatched it, I always see little things, but it's fun. And it's another way, maybe you can send it to somebody. It's a little 5-minute video. In fact, it's 5 minutes and 55 seconds. I liked it when I saw that. 5, 5, 5, 5 being number of grace. So I hope that's helpful. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I also made one that I'm not going to release it. It just wasn't up to my standards. But I spent 8 hours parodizing the Jack Nicholson scene from A Few Good Men, the You Can't Handle the Truth bit. Tom Cruise asked me, do you teach that there are two gospels? You're goddamn right I do. Who knows? If I look at it again and I like it, I might put it out. But it was hard matching up. I inserted Tom's voice in there. It was just kind of complicated. Not sure I like it. I also did a scene from Breaking Bad. Don't think I'm going to use that either. Although I haven't looked at it yet. I haven't looked at the footage yet. When Walter White says, you know, say my name, say my name. It also injects scriptural truth into it. So we'll see how that goes. But today, I am going to prove to you from scriptures that atheists do believe in God. But there's a huge difference between believing in God and believing God. They don't believe God. They don't believe that God has spoken to humanity. And if they did, they wouldn't believe God. So, you know, Satan believes in God, but he doesn't believe God. It's a miracle to believe God. And we have a revelation of God to us in his word. You know, I saw a terrible church sign one time. Sorry for the redundancy there. Yeah, I've always seen one church sign that actually made sense. And it said, Rummage Sale Saturday. I believe that Christians should stick with what they know. They know rummage sales. They know ice cream socials. So just stay there. You're safe there. Don't wander off into things like the scriptures. But this sign said, atheists have no invisible means of support. Ha ha. That was supposed to be really funny. It's a takeoff of the common phrase, if someone has no visible means of support, means that they don't have a job. Joe's son has no visible means of support. It's a common saying. So the takeoff on that was, the spinoff was, atheists have no invisible means of support, which is absolutely not true. How could it be true? When Christ is the adhesive, he's the one who makes all things cohere. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. Just to play it safe, I'm going to give you four verses there. Five verses, in fact. And God says through Christ, when he was on the earth, that he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. I'm not saying that atheists are unjust, but then again, I am saying that. And yet, in these days, when God is demonstrating his conciliation to the world, he blesses atheists. He supports them. He gives them good things. Atheists eat and drink, and they breathe, and they have clear lungs, and their hearts beat, and all this is provided to them second by their Creator. And they use that very breath to say that there is no God, to claim that they don't believe in God. It is so gracious of God, and it is proof that God is conciliated to the world, that he is at peace with the world, that he blesses people who don't believe in him with such great blessing. And Paul says to be gracious to others as God is gracious to us. And I think this also applies to atheists. I enjoy being gracious to atheists. In fact, I think you found this. It's much easier to talk to an atheist than it is a Christian. I would rather deal with someone who has no idea of God, no concept of God, doesn't even think God has spoken to humanity. I would much rather that than to wrestle with somebody who has all the wrong ideas about God. In fact, I've made this claim before, and I still stand by it, that I believe most atheists are developed. Nobody's born an atheist. Nobody is born not believing in God or saying they don't believe in God. Saying it. Atheists say it, but they do. I'm going to show you. Hang on. Nobody's born that way. Then how do people become that way? One answer of two words, organized religion, or if you want one word, Christianity. They're introduced, atheists are, or children have not yet become atheists. They are introduced to the insane Christian God of eternal torment, the insane Christian God who has given away his free will to every single person on earth, supposedly. But it's the doctrine of eternal torment that drives thinking people. And I give atheists credit. And I will often tell somebody who doesn't believe anything I teach, not that they're a Christian, but that they're on the fence at best. At the worst, they claim to be atheists, but I like to tell them they have more spiritual intuition, more sense than the Christians have, because they see through the hypocrisy, through the false expressions, through the double talk. They can see right through all that crap. And so they have much more, and even though they don't realize it, they have a much greater spiritual sensitivity. And I give them credit for that, because that puts them one step above that gaggle of hypocrites known as Christians. So now I'm going to give you the verse I've been talking about here, and it is in Romans, and it is chapter 1, verse 18. For God's indignation is being revealed from heaven, and this is in the future. God's indignation is not on the world stage now, obviously. God's indignation will be seen during the tribulation. At that time, I remind you, this is important. God is still conciliated to the world, but his judgments in the earth will cause the inhabitants of the earth to learn of him, to learn righteousness, to see that there is a just God, not a hypocritical God, Not a crazy uncle in the attic, but a true deity worthy of the name, whose will is the only untrammeled will in the universe. For God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all the irreverence and injustice of humans who are retaining the truth in injustice. Retaining the truth. This is an interesting phrase, retaining the truth. The truth is in everyone. Deep down somewhere. Deep down. But they're retaining it in injustice. On the surface, they're turning away from the very notion of God, from the very concept of God. And again, I blame organized religion for that. Because that which is known of God is apparent among them, among humans. And Paul's talking about all humans here. He's talking about the humans that are irreverent and unjust. Atheists are irreverent, but they don't think they're being irreverent against God because they say they don't believe in God. But here's a little backstage view that they actually are being irreverent. Because, let me get to the next verse. Because that which is known of God is apparent among them, for God manifests it to them. How? Verse 20. For his invisible attributes are descried from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements. What are his achievements? Here's some examples. The sun, the hummingbird, the planet Saturn, the toadstool, the toad, the giraffe, man, woman, even some children. The marvels of the human cell. The love demonstrated by someone who's being wronged by someone else. Oh, yes. All these things are manifestations of God. His invisible attributes. You see, God is invisible. And his attributes are invisible in that they are not seen proceeding directly from him, but they are seen by his creation, being apprehended by his achievements, besides his imperceptible power and divinity, for them to be defenseless. Because here it is, knowing God, they know God, there it is. Not as God do they glorify or thank him. So, they just don't glorify or thank God. And so that's unjust, isn't it? To not glorify or thank God. What do they glorify instead? Verse 21, for vain were they made in their reasonings. So, they are irreverent. Their irreverence shows through their reasoning about God, as if their ideas about God are valid. Either that he doesn't exist. Well, in fact, vain were they made in their reasonings. They're not even reasoning about God, are they? They're reasoning about the creation of things, about why the sun is there, how the sun got there, how human beings got upon the earth, how love is manifest. They're reasoning about the origin of these things. And in our day, chiefly through the error, the horrible, cartoonish error of evolution, they're reasoning that the entire universe started with a big bang. That is reasoning. And it is evidence of an unintelligent heart. Another way to say unintelligent is stupid. Not very smart. Alleging themselves, this is the best definition of an atheist that I have ever heard. And it takes God, who would be more capable of defining these folks than God? And he's giving his definition of an atheist through the Apostle Paul. And here it is. Verse 22, Romans chapter 1. Alleging themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. Boom. That is so beautiful, so concise, succinct. Alleging themselves to be wise. This is where people reason about the origin of things. They reason about how humanity came to be upon the earth. They reason about the love that they have for their children. They reason about what happens after this life. Most of them say nothing. They live, they die, and that's it. And I don't understand. People actually believe that. People actually reason that. Those have an unintelligent heart. Reason that after this life, everything goes black. You're done. Then what purpose is there for any sort of noble behavior? As Paul says, if we have an expectation in this life only, then we are to be pitied above all humans. We might as well eat, drink, and do merry if we believe that it all ends after this life. Paul admits that that's the conclusion. That's what logically follows. It would logically follow if one were consistent with one's belief that after this life there's nothing. But could it be that these people who claim they don't believe in God, could it be that they are aware somewhere down deep inside that there is a judgment? You see, this is what turned the Athenian philosophers off of Paul. When Paul started talking about the resurrection of the dead and the day in which God will be judging the inhabited world, that's when they got out the vaudeville cane, pulled him off stage. Many of them booed and said, okay, yeah, that's nice, because he was over the target. He pricked them when he talked about the judgment. To me, this is the only reason I can think of why someone who claims to not believe in God would be a good person, would think outside of their own hedonistic pleasures, their own immediate needs, their own concerns. I mean, we do have such people. We call them narcissists. So at least these people are honest in a way, because they just completely serve themselves. They don't think of anything in the future where there might be rewards for decent behavior. And as you know, there will be a book consulted at the Great White Throne, the Book of Life, and people will be judged in accord with their acts, what they did. I hear myself talking like Quint. In their acts, what they did, they'll be judged in accord with what they did. I love that line in there about their eyes. Look at their eyes. Lifeless eyes. Like a doll's eyes. My favorite line. Anyway. Knowing God. There it is. Knowing God. That is proof to me that all of humanity knows God. They know of God. And there's nothing here about them believing God. But it is deep down, but it is buried by layers and layers and layers and layers of religious training. Layers and layers and layers of, yeah, church, Catholic school, being confronted by crazy people on the street, telling them they're going to hell, repent, turn or burn. If they thought that was a true God, yeah, I can see why they would say they don't believe in God. But there's a kernel of life deep down. And I'll close this where I started, that God, well, I didn't give you this verse, but I said that atheists certainly do have invisible means of support. That's the only reason they're standing on their two feet. Because as Paul says in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill, to those Athenian philosophers, God gives to all life and breath and all. He gives to all, irrespective of what they think of him. He gives the breath to his enemies. He gives life and breath and all to the men who nailed Christ to the cross. Boy, if that isn't a token of the love of God, what is? He's actually giving them their breath, the soldiers that spit on him. He gave them their spit. He gave it to them, gave them the spit that they used to spit in the face of Christ. I think that God was already practicing there for the conciliation of the world that came through the death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Christ. Yeah, I think he was practicing on the Roman soldiers, and even more importantly, on the Jews, whose hardened hearts put Christ on the cross. But again, I would much rather talk to a professed atheist than to the Jews of Jesus' day, because ignorance of God is to be preferred over profound mistakes concerning God.